So my first like touch with the environmental movement and the climate movement wasn't a good one because it seemed unbalanced. Like, how could you care about nature more than my family, right?
Welcome to Climate Humans, a podcast by Hero. Stories about why climate mobilizers are more than heroes, they're humans, just like you and me. I'm your host, Mauricio Porras. And before we get started, you've probably noticed something a little bit different. So yes, we've changed our name. We're now called Climate Humans, a podcast by Hero. To let you in on the thinking, we had a bit of a light bulb moment where we realized that the conversations we were having on the show were more about the climate mobilizers themselves and who they are as humans. The feedback we were getting from all of you was that you loved hearing more about the people behind the work. In particular, the untold stories and unspoken truths they discovered along the way of their climate mobilization work. The issue is that there simply isn't a dedicated safe space in which to share this sort of insights more widely. Yes, people are having these conversations, but in private. So, with Climate Humans, we want to create a safe space where everyone involved in climate action, whether they're researchers, campaigners, or educators, can come together to share the unexpected stories behind their climate mobilization work. Climate Humans is a place to have deeper conversations about what the state of climate mobilization is now so that we can make it better. Twice a month, we'll talk with climate leaders to debunk why climate mobilizers are more than heroes. They're humans just like you and me. We'll be covering topics such as the nitty-gritty of their climate action, how that impacts them on a personal level, how they fund their work, the actions they're taking to drive change, and what they do to sustain their well-being. This week, I'm speaking with Lisa Witter. Lisa is a self-confessed, reluctant climate advocate, but also a bit of a political mastermind, a former public servant turned entrepreneur. Lisa is now the co-founder and CEO of an organization called the Apolitical Foundation, where she consults on getting people on the outside of climate to the inside. I'm super excited for this episode because we get into the practicalities of how we can transition people from the outside as mobilizers into making policy change happen from the inside as politicians. Before we start, please hit the follow button wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really helps us out. Thank you. Here's our conversation. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Climate Humans podcast. Today, I have the honor to have an amazing guest doing amazing work, Lisa Witter. Lisa, welcome to the Climate Humans podcast. How are you?
Great. So happy to be talking to you and everyone who's taken the time to listen about this important topic today.
Great. Before going into that, for those listeners who don't know Lisa Witter, who are you and what brought you close to the climate and political space?
Well, I'm not going to tell you my whole childhood story, but it is important, in particular in the climate space, because I'm a reluctant climate advocate. And why I say that is I was born in Everett, Washington. My mom made toilet paper at a factory, so paper products, so you needed to cut down trees. And my dad worked on the heavy equipment that cut down those trees. And there were instances in my growing up where activists chained themselves to trees or did things to sabotage equipment. And then later on, there was a ruling, a spotted owl ruling that was endangered, which really threatened the livelihood of a lot of people's jobs. And so for me, environmentalists were people taking jobs away, like hurting my family. So my first like touch with the environmental movement and the climate movement wasn't a good one because it seemed unbalanced. Like, how can you care about nature more than my family, right? And so for me, I think it was one of these moments where I decided I didn't personally want to be a protester. I wanted to be a parader. I wanted to know what I was for more than what I was against. Now, in my life now, I'm deeply into nature. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. For those of you who know it, it is gorgeous. We have deserts and rainforests and sounds and whales and just incredible mountains and just incredible land. And so I love nature and wanted to protect it too. And later in my life, I got the honor of being our company called Fenton, worked with Al Gore when the PowerPoint was first showed that then became the Inconvenient Truth. And I got to have the honor of working with Wangari Maathai when she won the Nobel Peace Prize, which was ostensibly for doing some of this work. And so all my life, whether taking people to Greenland to visit climate and see it up close and personal or work in National Geographic, I've been working now in climate and environment for a long time. And a lot of what we do at the Apolitical Foundation, which is where I'm the CEO and I co-founded a company called Apolitical, is really helping governments and politicians address the most important issues of our time. And obviously, one of those is climate.
Amazing. Well, it's really interesting because you've clearly have that view on the inside and the outside of politics. So I'm very interested to link that to the work we're doing at HERO with climate mobilizers that have been advocating for accelerating climate policy. And obviously, that's a work that's very much linked to politics. So from your experience and all the work that you've been doing, why is this particular work of advocating and enabling these dialogues to accelerate climate policy so important?
Yeah, well, I have always loved politics, and I might be a weirdo. And I keep asking this question, like, what if we loved politics and politicians? And what if being a politician was seen as one of the top 10 roles in our society? Like, what would be different? And the reason why isn't that it's a love of power or a love of bureaucracy or even formal structures. I'm quite a maverick. I don't necessarily like rules that much. But right now, the way that we've envisioned our society is that democracy is the best operating system we have. And being involved in politics at some point is where the money gets collected to do the energy transformation that we need. The regulation gets changed to move quicker on sustainable energy from the grid to windmills. All the laws, the funding, everything that we need to really get us to this transition, I'm quite optimistic that we could have a future that is so beautiful ahead of us. I don't see a way through without political leadership. So for me, part of what I'm really excited about what you're doing is taking people who are at the front lines of this activism and saying, look, activism is critical because people need to say, this is what we want and need. Some of those people need to make that bridge from this is what we want and need to go in and be part of bridging that to deliver on those demands. And that is absolutely critical. And I would say I have a bit of a frustration, and it's really more of just gratitude to anyone who is standing up for people on the planet. It's thinking about not everyone on the inside is against them. There are a lot of people in politics that could use a little bit more support. That's what activism could do, is support the good people in the system when times are tough, to be there for them, to support them, not just hold them accountable. So I'd love to talk about that a little bit more, about how we can transition people from outside as activists into politics to make a big difference. And there have been a number of people who have done that. Barack Obama in the US, he didn't run on climate as one of his things, but he came as a community organizer, and he knew that getting involved in politics was the way to get in. Activists in general, like Sanna Marin in Finland, she was. Alexandria AOC was. Many people, Yannick Jadot, even Arnold Schwarzenegger, people have moved from the outside to go on the inside, I think is a really important thing to consider.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I'm interested in knowing from your perspective, because you work with these leaders from the outside and also the inside, what is like the mindset, the skill set required to, because as you said, not everyone is against the work mobilizers are doing and climate advocates, but also there's a lot of people that are putting some barriers, let's say, and challenges to move the scale into the right direction. So what are the skill sets? What is needed to actually push those policies in a way that it's making sure that our goals are pushed forward?
It's a really great question. And something that there isn't a universal answer to, surprisingly. If you think about it, we have 18th century politics and 19th century governments and 20th century technology and maybe mindsets and 21st century problems and solutions. And I've been working in the space some way or shape for 30 some years. And you would say, what does it mean to be a 21st century politician? There isn't a defined universal definition of that. It's really interesting because being a politician is one of the jobs where you need zero training for, right? Like it's this very odd, very important role. So at the Apolitical Foundation, we've been really curious because in a lot of fields, you will take some sort of test to test your skills and your mindset to see if it's a good match, from being a pilot to I'm a doctor, lots of different ones. Do you have the skills and mindset? So we're curious, is there a test where you can sort of see, do you have the skills and mindsets and what do you need to work on? Because life is a constant learning leadership to do that. So some of the things that we find that are really important to be an effective politician is problem solving, self-management, the same, some of the skills that you find for activists.
Yeah.
Mindfulness and resilience. Super important. I think this is what activists and politicians have in common in ways maybe people don't think about, how incredibly stressful these jobs are, right? How hard they are. Politicians daily get death threats. Not all of them, but 80% of women in politics say they get threat. Conflict resolution, narrative building and storytelling is really important. And of course, there's this thing like courage and integrity and adaptability. And I think the thing that is most important to me is being intrinsically motivated, right? Is knowing, are you going into this because you're really driven by that fire? I think activists, for the most part, climate activists that I know are really driven by this. Yeah. They're really driven by the planet. I think politicians, that's a different story, right? There are a lot of people who go into politics. I know more that don't go in for the wrong reasons that do, but aren't really driven for those intrinsic motivations. Again, that's why I think certain of these climate activists can be fantastic politicians. I think where some climate activists may not is that there is the need to compromise because the job is to have multi-stakeholders. And this is hard, right? When you get down to what are you willing to compromise or not? And are you a good negotiator, right? Can you think through that? And I think that is, if you're not ever willing to listen to someone to co-create, you have to go through that process. We teach this. It's Otto Scharmer's theory U. We teach people how to try to listen for co-creation versus just disproving them and discounting them. And that goes across the board as being important. So those are some of the issues. And again, like you can hear why I'm so excited about potentially some of these activists going into politics, because I know a lot of them have a lot of these mindsets and attributes.
Correct. Yeah. And actually, what I loved about your description of these skills is that within the whole space, the activism space, we work with those that are actually in those political dialogues and trying to push policy. So that's why we call them mobilizers, because within the whole space, we work with those who have exactly the skills that you mentioned to start those dialogues, to negotiate, because we believe that's the way that we will be able to accelerate policy from civil society. So I really love the description and all the skills that you mentioned. There's one thing, however, that really caught my attention. You compare this to the political pressure that politicians face in their day-to-day jobs, but politicians are being paid for the job. So I'm not saying
not
that
all of them, not all politicians are being paid. That's not true. But yeah. Yes, they do have some money. Yes.
Correct. At least when they're in power, you could say that they have at least a bit of finance to do the job. So I'm wondering, from your perspective, why is so important that these climate mobilizers, which most of them are doing this job that you well mentioned, comes with a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, even threats. So why is it so important that as citizens, we back them so that they have the financial freedom and a stable income to do more of what they're amazing at doing and sustain that job? Why is it so important in your perspective?
Well, in every sort of social change that's ever happened, it's been groups of people who spend the time, energy, and really become the heroes of our society, not singular, but collective, to do that. Some people may come from families that have a lot of money to be able to afford them to do that, but that's not the representation that I want. And I want people from all different backgrounds to be able to do it. So it's critically important to fund this work. And what I really like about this model is I have massive respect for the NGO sector. I've been in and out of it my entire career. But what happens can be the institutionalization of activism, which you get distracted by the building of the institution to be a fundraising machine to give you the money to be able to do the activism. Here, you can strip away some of the bureaucracy and get to the heart of the urgency that we have. And this is why I think this model is absolutely important. And I really hope that some of the folks that the mobilizers use some of this money then to make that transition to becoming inside of the system, to continue to be mobilizers within the system. What's interesting about politics is it's probably one of the only jobs you might get paid. Not all politicians get paid. A lot of them are not paid at the local level. But of course, when you get to parliament or city council or president, you get paid. But running for politics is one of the weird jobs where you actually have to pay to run. Like, you have to pay to apply for the job. And sometimes it's a massive amount of money, which is why I think a lot of activists who don't come from big checkbooks and different, they don't actually get a seat at the table. They don't even get to raise their hand because they're not viable or they can't afford to do it. So I'm quite excited about this as a model to get new and different people into the system to bring not just climate, because I think what's going on, and you're spent a lot of time in the space that is exciting to me. And just by the way, I think one of the things that mobilizers need to know, and everyone needs to know who wants to make change, is how government works, right? Mm-hmm. How does policy making work? Because it's oftentimes the frustration about why things don't happen. The rule was put in place by another activist who wanted things to be in a different way, right? So you have this kind of weird, I like to call it like this yarn hairball of like policies and procedures that sometimes slowly can only be unraveled, which is frustrating, right? Which is some of the work we need to do if we want to deal with climate change is we really have to reform government, like to make it work and be more agile. And that's one of my expertises is on agile governance. I'm really passionate about it. And getting these people from the outside to inside the system who know that from day one, right? Who haven't spent all of their waking energy surviving so that their brain is actually on the problem solving and not on the surviving. That is definitely what we need these days all around the world, and men, women, all genders, backgrounds. It's critically important to be representative in our problem solving, not just in our politics.
Yeah, that's great. And I love the how you frame it into reimagining how government works and how politics work. And I think that this approach, mostly from like grassroots movements, as you well mentioned, AOC and other amazing, even Barack Obama, like these grassroots movements that support these future politicians from the ground up. And when they're in power, of course, they work for the people. So I think this model also that we're putting together is, I think it's a great catalyzer of that type of work, because you're supporting them in a stage where they're mobilizing for change and then potentially powering their political careers as well. So I think we're very aligned in that line of thinking. And I think it's important for citizens to see this in the long run, that it's not just supporting a mobilizer today because they're very passionate about advocating for the climate, but actually this is a long-term game that if citizens around the world choose to back, then basically we're backing the future leaders of our society, which is super important. Before we finish, I would like to ask you, for you, Lisa, what does it mean to be a hero?
When I hear that word, my first response is to bristle a little bit, in that it makes it feel over here. And my life has been about how you build arms around people versus a hero on the hill. And then I was thinking about this mostly through conversations with my dad, who just is wise in his simplicity and clarity. His name is Bill, and I love him so much. He taught me to love nature. I think that's why I'm so connected to this, deeply love nature. And I remember he saying to me, there's no such thing as heroes. They're just normal people who have done extraordinary things, right? So they are heroes, but it's not, there's anything about them special or different. Okay, maybe they were a bit more courageous, but all of us in our sinew and our bones and our life experience, we can do extraordinary things. In fact, it's the only thing that we have in front of us is our ability as normal. We're not robots. We're not born superheroes. We're just people who dare and dream to do extraordinary things. And that's what being a hero is to me.
I love it. A collective movement of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. I just love that. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us in this episode of the Hero Podcast, for sharing your thoughts and perspective and expertise. I'm pretty sure not only to our listeners, but also to our mobilizers, they will be very inspired from your words and learnings. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. And everyone listening, remember to stop, breathe, smell the roses, have fun, dance, and enjoy every day, because we need this fuel to keep this dream forward of a better future for all of us. So thank you very much to everyone.
Well said. Goodbye, and thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Climate Humans. Climate Humans is produced by Josie Coulter and edited, mixed, and mastered by Ben Beheshti. Climate Humans is created and hosted by Mauricio Porras. Climate Humans is brought to you by Hero, the first platform where you can directly fund people-powered climate solutions, like the incredible people you hear on this show. You can start supporting our everyday heroes for as little as €6 per month. Just head to herocircle.app to subscribe. That's herocircle.app. In the meantime, do remember,
being a politician is one of the jobs where you need zero training for, right? Like, it's this very odd, very important role.
See you next time.